haunts us day and night. It torments us. Now, when I was a second grader, and I was living over in Spokane at the time, Spokompton. It was cold. It was winter. And over there, you get these big giant pine cones. You have these big giant pine cones, and we would like to see how far we could throw them. And my buddy and I were at his house, and I said, "I want to see how far we can throw this. I bet I can throw it over the house." Just I'm in the front yard, you stay in the backyard. We're just going to throw this thing and lob it over the house. So I wind up, I'm like, I'm going to go first. I'm going to do this. And so I get my giant pine cone, and it's freezing out. It is cold. You know what stuff, when it's really cold outside, you know what stuff's more breakable? So I have this pine cone, and he's got this really beautiful house with these great big windows, and it's just awesome. And I'm like, I'm going to chuck it. I'm going to throw it. And I chuck my pine cone, not up there where it should, but like straight ahead at the front window. Crack. He comes around the house. What happened? I don't know. I don't know. Dang, I think it was a squirrel's mom comes out. What happened? I'm like, I don't know. So I'm like a little second grader. And I went on for like a year. I would go to this guy's house, and I would never acknowledge that I was the guy with that shit that broke the window with the pine cone. I was the pine cone guy. I broke it. And so I go over the year, and every time I would go and I hang out, I would be haunted by the stuff that I had done. You know, as a young guy, I remember the time a lot of guys, the average age for guys that look at pornography is like 11 years old. That's the average age. And when you're a young boy, when you're young and like you first see that, your first response is, ew, gross, that's nasty, why? And then eventually you're just like, that why, ew, nasty kind of comes, oh, that's more interesting, and you kind of get sucked in. Remember, as a young guy at that age, we can get sucked in. We can get sucked into desires and to habits that wage war in our soul. And a lot of you guys today, like me, spent a lot of time in high school being haunted and tormented on the inside of my soul by the things that I had done or the things that I have seen, the things that I had said to people. It wages war against our soul. And stuff like that, whether it's pornography, whether it's drinking, whether it's drugs, whatever your thing is, whether it's gossip, a lot of it, when it's private, we're really tempted to say, I got to keep it to myself. I got to keep it to myself. I can't tell anybody. I got to keep it secret. But secret sin eats you from the inside out. Secret sin eats you from the inside out. So we believe these lies. We believe these things that were said of us, and we have these habits, whether it's like overeating or sleeping around or using people or using each other, whatever it is. We have these secret sins. We're tormented by the things that we've done. Now, number two, we're tormented by the lies that we believe. The lies that we believe. I'm not a good liar. And as a kid, I used to envy those who were, you know, because they could cover up anything. And I'd be like, yeah, man, I'd start to tell something. My mom's like, no, that's not what happened, is it? No. You know, I was that guy. I was overcome by the guilt. But, you know, we're tormented by the lies we believe. You know who the best liar is? Diablo, the devil. That was Spanish, I think, for the devil. Trying to work on my Spanish all the time. Omar, trying to work on my Spanish. So the devil, in John 8, 44, Jesus says this. He said, the devil was a murderer from the beginning. He always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The devil, he's a liar. The devil's a liar. He's an enemy. I hate that feeling of being stalked by somebody, by an enemy. How many of you guys like Capture the Flag? I like to dominate at Capture the Flag. I want to see you go down in the ground. Not dive, unless a little too far. Unless it's just a game. But I want to dominate and Capture the Flag. And I used to want to stalk behind people. And one time I was following this, like I crossed the boundary line. You're playing Capture the Flag, you got two sides. We're out in the woods, and I crossed the boundary line, and I'm stalking this other team member. And then I kind of hear behind me that I hear this footsteps coming along and this clang, I hear this stick break. Turn around, the other person turns around, I'm like stuck in between the two. And I started to weave this lie. They said, oh, we got you on our territory. I'm like, no, you're on my territory. I'm stalking you. I'm stalking you. They didn't believe my lie because I'm a terrible liar. And they got me. This enemy, as he stalks us, the enemy, the devil, the Bible says he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, right? He wants to see you taken out. He wants to see you stumble. And one of the greatest ways that he does that, one of the greatest ways that he uses to torment you is to have you believe lies? Some of the lies that we believe are fairly common. The lie like, I hate this lie. The lie that I am what I did. Some of you guys right now, as we're talking about this, you guys are thinking about what torments you. You guys are thinking about a habit. You're thinking about a hurt, something you've done, something from your past. And the lie that the devil says is that you are what you did. Oh, you look at porn, then that's who you are. That's your struggle. Oh, you slept around, that's who you are. If you're an addict, that's who you are. You are what you did. That's the lie. If you feel bad, you failed and you should feel bad. That's what the devil says to you. The devil says, you're a failure. The lie that we believe, man, I failed, I've blown it, I can never recover from this, I can never be forgiven. The lie that says that I just am the way that I am and I'm never going to change. Satan wants to see you guys be tormented all the time into never believing you're good enough, never believing you can be forgiven. He torments you. We should learn from our past. We should learn from our past mistakes and move forward. We should never dwell on them and let them define us. But that's what so many of us do. We're tortured by the lie, and we're tortured by these lies, and so we keep it secret. Man, I'm such a terrible person. I've did this. I can't tell anybody. What would this person think about me? What would my girlfriend think about me if she knew what I had done? So we keep these secret sins, and we keep being tortured. We keep being tormented. Now, if those are the lies, and that's what tortures us, what should we be telling our soul? The devil tells us lies. We're tormented by the things we've done in our past. What should we be telling our soul? When the devil tells you to hide it and never tell anyone, you need to tell your soul this. It's better to confess your sins than to hide your sins. It's better to confess your sins than hide your sins. Check out this verse, Proverbs 28:13. People who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. They will receive mercy. Jesus says, confess your sins, don't hide them. Have you guys ever had bad food poisoning before? What happens, it's kind of the reverse of the bowel detox. Instead of going out the other way, it's like everything just wants to come up out of your soul, all right? I was at a restaurant and it was purple. The meat was kind of purple and undercooked. I'm a well-done kind of guy. Well done. Now I do medium well. Okay, I'm trying to be more manly. So medium well. But I went to this restaurant and it came out kind of purple. I'm like, I hope I don't get food poisoning. I got it. That whole night, I'm like in the bathroom, just vomit. Unconfessed sin is like vomit. It's going to pour out of you. It's like ripping out your insides and wants to come out. That's what unconfessed sin is. It's like food poisoning. Unconfessed sin is like food poisoning. It's poison to the soul. We must confess our sins. So you guys think about, like, what's confession? Do I get in a box and talk to a guy in a robe and like just tell him all of my past and then walk out? No, like that's not what confession really is. When we confess to God, catch that, we confess to God for the forgiveness of our sins. In your notes, we confess to God for the forgiveness of our sins. Confession is it's being open and honest with God. It's just talking to him. If you want to be free from the stuff that torments you, the first thing you got to do is confess those sins to Jesus. It's just talking to God. It's saying, God, I messed up. I know this is wrong. I know I hurt myself and the others, but I just got to confess this and let it go. Confess to God. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Some of us are just like, God's so scary, I can't talk to him and tell him what I've done. First of all, God's God and he sees everything. So he's not really surprised by what you do. He's kind of waiting with these really wide, loving arms for you to come talk to him. God's not like Zeus who's going to throw lightning bolts at you when you sin. He loves you. He cares about you. He's waiting for us as a children just to talk to him. So the first person we got to confess to is just to God. Say, God, I messed up. And God, the Bible says he is faithful. He's just. He's righteous. He'll forgive us our sins. And just as David's prayed to be forgiven and be purified, God wants to forgive you. He wants to make you new. You are a new creation. He who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. So we confess to God for forgiveness, all right? We confess to God for forgiveness. Now, there's the confession where it's like vertical, like, hey, we talk to God. That's that vertical relationship, right? Then there's a horizontal relationship where we talk to people. You're like, what? Yeah. We confess to people for healing from our sins. We confess to people for healing from our sins. Everybody needs somebody that they can trust, that they can be honest with, that you can share your struggles, you can share your hurts, you can be real with. I've got guys in my life, I've got friends in my life. You know, in high school, I didn't have a lot of people that I could really trust and share with, but a huge part of your walk with Christ, if you want to receive healing from the stuff that torments you and rips you up, it's got to learn to confess and talk to the people who are close to you. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. If somebody ever tells you, I'm going to tell you something I've never told anybody before, your response shouldn't be, sweet, I got to know a secret. Your response should be, someone's life is going to get changed and someone's going to be healed. Because the first step to find healing is to be open and honest. If you're addicted to something, you got a problem, the first thing that you got to do is admit that I have a problem. I threw a pine cone. I have a problem. I have a problem. I'm an addict to pine cone throwing. You know, whatever it is, the first step is confessing your sins. Confessing and being open and honest. So I told you guys for a year with that pine cone, I would go with this guy's every week. I would hang with this kid in the same neighborhood, and they didn't fix the window. I mean, God, I was just like, fix the window. So I don't have to look at my sin all the time, my lie. So finally, after a year, I was just like, Mrs. whatever her name is, I forgot. I'm the pine cone guy. I broke your window. I'm sorry. She was like, oh, that's okay. I was like, what? Aren't you going to like throw me out of the house and say, I can't be friends with your son? I got so much forgiveness. The first step to letting go of that tormented, you know, being tormented was to confess it and be honest and share. You know, it's the same thing. The hardest day of your life is when it's so hard to be open and honest and share your sins and your struggles. But it's also the best day. Because it's the day that you're open and honest with God and you're open and honest with somebody else and you can find healing. You know, for most of my high school life, you know, being a young guy, I really had a lust problem. Really struggled with lust. And the hardest day of my life was to share that struggle with my then girlfriend, Brianne, who became my wife. I mean, it could have been over that day. She could have left me. But and honestly, that was a hard conversation that night where I was honest with her. And after that, you know, we had many more hard conversations, many more honest talks. But if I couldn't be honest with her and be real about where I was spiritually, we were never going to have a real relationship. I was never going to be able to be myself and be honest with God because I couldn't be honest with her. So the first thing, we confess to God for forgiveness. We confess to people to find healing. We confess to people to find healing. Now, this is a sign of maturity, okay? This is a sign of maturity. The time span between your sin and your confession. That's a sign of maturity. I sinned, man, you go through a little while and you confess. If that's like 5 years, like admitting something was wrong, you know, that could take a while. You know, the closer that time is between you make a mistake and you confess to God, man, I messed up. That's a sign of maturity. Now, some days I'm very immature. Jared, you're being a jerk, my wife says. You're being kind of ornery. I am not. Go like a week, man, I've been really ornery. I need to repent. And there's some other days I'm like, okay, I messed up. I need to confess right now. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry. Now, when I say you got to be talking and be honest and find somebody, everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs a mentor. Everybody needs an accountability partner. That's why we do group life. That's why we do all this stuff. So you guys can have relationships with people that you trust. You don't have to tell everybody everything that you've ever done. You should tell somebody something. Everybody needs someone, one person at least you can be honest with, say, hey man, I struggled with this, I messed up again. Can you pray for me? Can you walk me through this? Can you keep me accountable? Everybody needs somebody. So the first thing is, when your soul is being tortured, what should we tell our soul? That it's better to confess than to hide it. You know, one of the reasons I wanted to talk about my sin, because I really believe what the Bible says, that, you know, whatever's in darkness will be brought to the light. Whatever's in darkness will be brought to the light. I didn't want somebody else to bring my junk to the light. You know, it's better to confess it than to be caught. Amen. Number two, Christ will set you free. Jesus Christ will set you free. Some of us believe the life like, I'm stuck in this forever. This is my sin. This is my addiction. I'm never going to change. You're right. On your own, we can't change. On my own, I couldn't overcome my struggles and my addictions and my hurt and my habits, all that junk. On my own, we can't do it. On your own, in your own strength, in your own power, you can't do it. Christ Jesus will set you free. I love this verse, okay? 1 Corinthians 10 says, verse 12 starts with this. If you think you're standing strong, some of us are just like, man, I'm doing good. I haven't sinned in a while. I'm just so holy. I'm so awesome. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall, because the temptations in your life are no different than what others experience. If you're here today and you think that you're alone, that no one's tempted the same way you are, man, no one's tempted to lust like I am. No one's tempted to do this like I am. No one's a gossip like I am. The temptations in your life are no different than what anybody else experiences. No different. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. God says this. He doesn't say, I'm not going to allow you to be tempted or you're never going to make a mistake. God gave us a free choice. He says, the temptations in your life, when you're tempted. He doesn't say, if you're tempted to do something. He says, when. He says, he will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so you can escape. Life's all about choices. God gives you a choice. When you're in the back seat of a car, there's a way of escape. You and your girlfriend alone in the back seat, there's a way of escape. It's called a door. Open it. Get out of the car. You don't have to do that. If you're at a house, you're at a party you shouldn't be at, you know it's wrong, there's a way of escape. It's called a door or a window. Get out of there, man. All right? God promises you the way of escape. Now it's our choice to walk through. There's always a way out. On our own, we can't do it. The Bible says, he who the Son, he who Jesus sets free is truly. If you guys are being tormented today, by your past, by a hurt, by something that you've done, something that haunts you, something that was done to you, the only way you'll find freedom from that is through Jesus Christ. The only way you will find freedom is through a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you. He died for you. We need to realize our need of Jesus. He who Jesus sets free is truly free. 1 Peter 2, 24-25. Jesus, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. By Jesus' wounds on the cross, by shedding his blood and dying, we're healed. We can find forgiveness. We can find healing through Jesus. Once you were like sheep who wandered away. Sheep are dumb. Sheep are stupid. You've seen sheep? They're dumb. They wander. They get lost. They just go, and they get lost. Sheep need a shepherd. Said, once you were sheep who wandered away. We were being stupid like a sheep and going by. But now we've turned to your shepherd, Jesus, the guardian of our souls. If you guys are here today and you don't know who Jesus is, we want to tell you about Jesus. If you have heard a lot about Jesus, but you haven't asked him to be Lord and to be your Savior and to find forgiveness in him, you can do that. You can do that. You can talk to God. He's not scary. You can ask him. I want to pray for us today. And just take a moment as we reflect, like just to kind of be calm and to clear our minds. And wherever you're at right now, if you're just like, hey, man, I'm struggling, I'm being tormented, I need to find forgiveness in Jesus. The first step in doing that as we pray is to say that to God. Hey, God, I've messed up in this. Maybe your next step is to find somebody later on, whether it's today or this week, and confess to them. You confess to God, you've admitted you've been wrong. And the next step for you is to, hey, I'm gonna talk to Jesus. I mean, I'm going to talk to a partner. I'm going to talk to a friend. And be honest with them. Maybe your next step is right now as we pray to ask Jesus to be Lord of your life. And if that's you, we're gonna take our offering right now as well and turn in our comm cards. Write that on the comm card. Say, hey, I want to meet Jesus. I want a relationship with Jesus. Hey, I need prayer. I need somebody to talk to. I need a mentor. Wherever you're at. Right now, I want you guys to bow your heads. We're going to close our eyes. We're going to pray and end the time today. Lord Jesus, God, we thank you for how much you love us. God, we thank you for who you are and what you've done, that you went to the cross and died for our sins so we could find forgiveness, we could find healing, that we could stop being tortured and tormented by our past and by the things we've done. But God, that we can find forgiveness in you, that we can move on, that we can find healing and let go of our past and move forward, because he who is in Christ Jesus, whoever has a relationship with you, is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. God, this morning we recognize that we need you. We need a relationship with you. And God, we're sorry for our sins. God, we ask that you be Lord of our life today and that you give us the strength and the power to recognize the temptations when they come, to realize what you want us to do. And God, give us the strength today to be honest with you and be honest with each other. God, if we want to find healing, the first step is being honest with ourselves and with you and with each other. So God, thank you for dying for us. Thank you for rising again. Thank you that we can have a relationship with you, for forgiving us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, thanks, guys. Why don't you guys fill out those comm cards and stick them in the bin.